There we are. Okay. This morning's teaching is entitled, God, Our Very Present Help. So if you please turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, and we're going to go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. And we're going to look at this wonderful truth that God is our very present help. And in Psalm 46, we'll start right in the beginning. We're going to look at this verse in depth. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge, our shelter, whom we trust, our strength, His might and His power. God is that for us. And a very present help in time of trouble. That word very means an exceeding abundantly. And for the word present is matzah. Maybe you've heard of a matzah ball. But this is the Hebrew word matzah, and it means to find, to acquire. So what in this sentence, God is very findable. He's very present and help, our assistance, our aid, a very findable help. When you look up this word help, it uses the word sucker. And it's not like you're a sucker or a type of fish. Or even a plant that grows up next to the main plant. It's S-U-C-C-O-U-R. And it means to add assistance, to aid, to support in times of hardship and distress. I love this. He is our. God is our. God is our refuge and strength and a very findable, accessible, acquirable help, assistance in time of trouble. In time of trouble. I want to stop for a moment when it says our God is very findable. He's very present, very findable. You may have heard in God's word verses like this. Thy God, thou shalt find him if thou seek him. Or, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's from Deuteronomy and in Jeremiah. You see that word, find me? Find, it's that matzah, very present. He's very findable. We can find him. If you seek me, you're going to find me. If you search for me with all, you seek me with all your heart. In light of God being able to give us aid or assistance or to succor us, we've been looking at different things like the peace of God. We've been learning, looking at trusting God. And we're going to, and I'd like to look at Isaiah 26:3 again. So if you turn your Bibles to Isaiah 26:3. This is one of my favorite verses. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, or shalom, shalom, whose mind is stayed on thee. And that word stayed means to lean on. If you're going to reach for something for support, reach for him. Lean on him. Thou wilt keep him in shalom, shalom, peace, whose mind is leaning, who stayed on thee. Because he trusteth in thee, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is after everlasting strength. We looked at courage last week. And we saw that courage isn't an absence of fear. It's the strength and ability to deal with the fear. We looked at the opposite of courage, and the opposite of courage is cowardice. Courage, that strength and ability, and where do we get that from? We got that from trusting in God, from being assured in our heart that God is with us, and then believing within the depths of our heart that God's promises are true and that He's able, willing to bring His promises to pass. And from that, we grab courage. And we are looking to this today to look at the concept of Him being our help. Him being our help. Him being our support. Him being our aid. Him being our assistance. And I have this thought, do we reach for Him first for aid, for assistance? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing if you could, in your heart of hearts, say, I need help, I need assistance, I need His strength, I'm reaching to Him. There's lots of places that offer support, that offer aid, that offer assistance, but the greatest support, the greatest aid, the greatest assistance is God Almighty. We heard that this morning. He is our strength. He is our sufficiency. When we look at the beautiful verse like we were looking at in Psalms 46, and I should have said to keep your finger there because we're going back, because there's these different verses that you'll pluck them out and they're great standalone verses, but when you see the context from which they come and you see that they go together, it's even bigger. So if we go back to that Psalm 46, I see I had my ribbon there. I didn't tell you guys. So Psalm 46, the same psalm where we read that God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble or in time of trouble. Verse 2, therefore we will not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof, that really hasn't happened here. Verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High God. God is in the midst of her, And she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. That right early. You ever heard that God is never late? That right early. Now skip down to verse 10. This ought to be familiar. Be still. Remember, this is in the context of God being our refuge, our strength, and our help in time of trouble. Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Salah. And Salah means consider what's being said. Be still and know that I am God. We spent weeks looking at different aspects of reverencing God, fearing God, seeing God as God. It takes humility. It takes subjection. It takes trust. When we look at this, be still and know that I am God. This word still, it means to relax. It means to let go. I think of it, have you ever heard the term exhale? Where you finally get to go. And that's what this verse is saying. Let go. Let go. Relax. Be still and know that I am God. And that "be still and know that I am God" is in the context of this psalm, that God is our refuge, our shelter, our trust, our hope. God is our strength, and God is a very present help in trouble. Because of that, when you read, "be still and know that I am God," it's in the knowledge that He's a very present help in time of trouble. It's in the knowledge that He is there offering Himself as refuge and strength, where God is our help. We're going to continue looking at God being our help, our assistance. We are not without help. We are not without help. We have help. You've ever heard someone says, "I don't have anybody to, I've got nothing. I've got nothing." We can never really truly say that if we know what the Word of God says. We've got help, and our help is our God. Go to Psalm 121, please. Psalm 121. This psalm is one of those psalms of ascent. Some Bibles, you might even see a little subtitle saying "Song of Degrees." Have you seen that maybe? How many Bibles say "Song of Degrees" and on yours does? Yours does? What that means is it's the psalm of ascent. These are psalms of ascent. The scholars deem this as the children of Israel were required three times a year to those required feasts. They would pilgrimage from wherever they were in the land. Not everybody who lived in Jerusalem, but they would pilgrimage to Jerusalem for those very special feasts. And each one of those feasts have some aspect of the coming one, you know. But they would pilgrimage to Jerusalem. What's so special about Jerusalem? It was the city where God chose to place His name. When we read in the book of Daniel, and he was praying, his window was open to where? Towards Jerusalem. And he would pray facing Jerusalem because in this time, Jerusalem was the place where God chose to place His name. It was in Jerusalem where the temple was. It was in Jerusalem that within the heart of that temple was the tabernacle. And within the heart of the tabernacle was the Holy of Holies, where God chose to make manifest His power and His glory, the Ark of the Covenant. This was their pilgrimage, and they were going, and that's what this psalm is about. It's all about God. It's all about going. Psalm 121, and in verse 1. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. There's one branch of scholars that says, "I lift up my eyes to the hills," that was for idols and things like that. It doesn't fit this. I'm heading to Jerusalem. These are psalms of degree, psalms of ascent. And then it says in verse 2, "My help comes from the Lord." I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Verse 3, "He will not suffer thy foot to be" what? Moved. I shall not be moved. There it is. "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not neither slumber nor sleep." Wouldn't that be a bummer to catch God on His day off when you need Him? Sorry. He doesn't want to be disturbed. That's not our God. He's a very present help, and he's always on, you know? So, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. You're going out, you're coming in. You're day by day. As you go out to work, as you come back, he's there preserving us. He shall keep us. He shall guard us. And that's all in the context of, from whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord. From which cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And he will not allow our foot to be moved. Our going out and our coming in. We're going to go to one other place in the Old Testament. There's so many to look at the concept of God being our help. But we're going to go to one more. And this is in the book of Isaiah. And it's in chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. And this is one of those sections of scriptures which we see alluded to the coming Christ, the servant of the Lord, the Son of God. But there's also, you can look at it in the time from which these people were living, the servant of the Lord being the man who would speak God's word to these people. But when we look at that, we're going to see the concept of God being our help again and again in here. But we'll also see things that are eerily familiar with what the Christ would go through. We're going to see he gave him his back. He was scourged. We can read that in the Gospels. Spit on his face. We can read that in the Gospels. Mocked and derided. We can see that in the Gospels. And not only that, as I was reading, I'm looking at this, and you know, it's a messianic section. But what's so fantastic, and as we read this, I want you to think of sections of scripture that we read that this sounds familiar with, that we see a familiarity to the New Testament, to the epistles even. And we're looking at God being our help. God being our help. So, Isaiah 50. We'll start in verse 6. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I shall not be confounded. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. To set your face as a flint is, you ever see somebody get really determined? Face hardens and tightens up, and they're just determined to do it. That's what setting your face like a flint is all about. And then it says, I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore I shall not be confounded. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. I know that I shall not be ashamed. When I think of that, I shall not be ashamed, I go to the book of Romans. I go to the book of Romans where the apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's not going to let me down. I won't be disappointed in it. And my hope shall not maketh me not ashamed. How about this one? A stumbling in Zion, a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For the scripture saith, Romans 10, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So when we read this, you can see not only, you know, it's things that the Messiah went through, but the things that the Messiah would make available by his sacrifice, by the grace in our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8. He is near that justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Does that also sound like Romans? For kicks and giggles? Let's go to Romans 8. Romans 8. And you think about God being our help. God being our help. Who is he that contends with me, that makes a complaint about me, makes a case against me? Who is he that's going to condemn me? Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Verse 31, we'll start. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that sound like what we just read in Isaiah chapter 50? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Think about that. Way back in Isaiah, you see this. For you and I, it's all about Jesus Christ. You think about God giving us help in this day and time. Like you said this morning, Sarah. How blessed we are. The help that we've received by the grace of God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who's he that's going to make a case against us? God is near. God is the one that justified us. He has justified us in our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's a great help. Every man needs a Savior. We just realized it. That's the only difference. All men do. All men need that kind of help that God provides in the grace in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who shall separate, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay! No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is God near? Is he a very present help? Do we have access unto this great God? We do because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have that help. We have entree to that help. He makes intercession for us for that help. What a God. What a Lord. What a life. We have help. We're not without help. This help that God gives us is so wrapped up in His grace that He extends to His people. It says in the Old Testament, He's talking to Moses, says, God says, I'll be gracious to whom I'm going to be gracious, and I'll show mercy to whom I show mercy. That was His call. He's God. Do you know who He's been gracious to? Us. Do you know who He showed mercy to? Us. Why? Because He can. Because He did. We're not without help. We have help. We have a very present help. Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Boy, isn't that powerful? What's going to separate us from the love of Christ, the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Is God near? Yeah. Can't even be separated from Him. He's a very present help. He's very findable. How about God in Christ? Where? In you. He's very findable. He's within. How beautiful is that? Hebrews chapter 4. And we have looked at this verse in recent weeks. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, the very end of the chapter. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Now listen to this. And find grace. Find grace to do what? To help in time of need. And this is a very special word that we see in the King James as help. Does it mean help? Absolutely does. But it's a nautical word. And it literally means frapping. And frapping in the days of the sailing ships made out of wood. Frapping was what they would carry on board to hold the ship together when the integrity of the ship would not be able to stand the test of a storm or rough seas. They would slip it over the bow, wrap it underneath, and they would wrap the ship with either ropes, cables, chains. They were helps. It kept it together when it was falling apart or before it fell apart. And here it is grace, that we may find grace to help. Grace to help in time of need, in an opportune time. It's the grace of God. The greatest help we've ever received and ever needed was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the righteousness that we have in Him, the sanctification that we have in Him, the eternal life that we have in Him, the hope that we have in Him, that's the greatest help man ever could. But it doesn't stop there. This grace doesn't stop there. It continues on, where we can boldly go unto that throne of grace. Boldly go to that throne of grace that we may obtain, acquire mercy, and then find grace to help, to frap, to hold us together when we're in danger of falling apart. It's the grace of God that is that help, that assistance, that aid, that support. You see this word in Acts 27. A storm blows up, Paul's on the boat. It's called a Euroclodon. You could call it a hurricane, all right, or something like that. That's the kind of storm. They're in a wooden boat sailing in a hurricane. And what did they use to hold the boat together? Helps, it says in the King James. What is that? Frapping. That support. That undergirding the ship. That holding it together. And it's the grace of God that we find at His throne. Because of Jesus Christ giving us entree to the throne, we have access to His throne 24/7. It doesn't close. He's not slumbering. He's not sleeping like we just read. We have access unto that grace which holds us together, that help. We're going to close in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. And let's go to verse 5 and see if this sounds familiar within the last few weeks of things we've looked at. 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Take your finger, put it in the book, and close it. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Is that a good one? Is that a standalone verse that we can hold in our heart? Sure is. Open the book back up. Read the next verse. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know what the root of this helper is? Frapping. He's the one that gives the support. He is the one that can hold us together when we can't by ourselves. Never could. It's foolish to think we did. He is our helper. The Lord is our helper. We are not without help in this day and time. We have help. He's our God. Our God is a very present help in time of trouble. In the context of those verses where we see that God is our help, God is our help, our helper, we receive help, you also see that God is with us. God is with us, that He is our refuge, that He will never leave us, that He will never forsake us. If we seek Him, He will be found of us. If we trust in His strength, if He be for us, who can be against us? God has justified us. Who can contend with us? God has set us apart special unto Himself. Who can condemn us? No one. No one. Our God is our help. And He's every bit as much a help today to the church, to the born-again one, to the sons of God, as He was to His beloved Israel that He called. If we think about that, how special it is, and how blessed people we are, that God is our help, God is our helper, and to that we say, Amen.